You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw,
who insisted on having Steli's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
Crush it.
All right. So this is Steli and Heaton. Welcome to the podcast. Again, still remote. I'm in Berlin. Heaton is in California. And I just asked you, Heaton, what do you want to talk about? And he said, sales. Are you ready? And that's how we started the recording, with me saying I'm born ready. So what do you want to talk about exactly on sales, Heaton?
Sure. So when we were at a conference together recently called MicroConf, and it might not have been recently by the time you hear this, basically I got to see Steli in full effect. I mean, I've hung around him before, read some of his blog posts, I read his tweets, and even like heard what other people say to him. But like at the conference, it really became very clear that Steli is the modern salesman. And what I mean by that is he's somebody who you don't just hang out with because you have to, right? If you're trying to buy from him, let's say, or, you know, whatever, but you actually would hang out with him because it would be fun to have a beer with him. And he doesn't just talk about sales or act salesy all the time. But yet when you, I'm sure when you're buying from him, he's very, very clear and gets it done. So, you know, just in general, most salespeople I just can't hang around with. And even if I could hang around with them, it means they're not that good at it. And so I wanted to just talk about like how you think about sales today. And the reason for that is I know there's a lot of folks out there doing B2B SaaS sales that, you know, running B2B SaaS companies that are not doing sales. I know there's also a lot of folks out there that are reading content about sales from a lot of these folks that are already out there, but that aren't selling today. And I know you don't just talk about sales. You are selling today, every day, and you're teaching other people how to sell today in these modern times. And I cannot think of anyone else that's doing that and giving advice. And I really believe that people who are operators and practitioners are the best at teaching if they can afford the time or see the value in it. And so that's my sort of a little bit of a rant, which is like most salespeople are bullshit. And most salespeople have old advice if they're trying to give you advice. So I want to hear what you got. Like, what would you tell someone that's never done sales about sales? Let's start there.
That's awesome. And you know what? One comment before we jump right into it. It's so interesting that you're bringing this up right now. We really didn't know. We don't, by the way, just as a side note on the podcast, we don't really in depth discuss what we're going to discuss. We just pick a topic and then we go record. Like, so we don't really know what the structure of the podcast is going to be. So I didn't know what you wanted to talk about in sales, but it's interesting that you bring up this thing because over the last few weeks, we have internally been discussing this, and I'm writing a blog post on this, on like our flavor of sales. So it started with like, you know, my co-founder asking me, who is our salesperson? Like, what are we looking for? What is even good in sales when it comes to us? Because we're so different in the way we think about sales. And my answer was like, we're looking for the unicorn salesperson or the full stack salesperson, if you want to use two highly startup-ish terms. both the unicorn and the full stack. I figured out a way to use both.
We call those buzzwords.
No, don't say that. That's not true. Yes. So what do I mean by that? So the way that I think about sales is that, you know, I'm looking for a well-rounded human being that's both empathetic, that is empathy, somebody that cares truly about other human beings and wants them to succeed and wants them to help them and wants to understand others before he makes himself understood, like just cares about truly understanding the other side of the table. But then at the same time is someone that is competitive and wants to win and has strength and has clarity. And once he or she decided that prospect should be a customer and should be a buyer and is truly a qualified and good fit for the solution you have to offer, then they don't fuck around anymore. And then they tell you what to do. And they come at you with clarity, with power, with direction. And they go for the close and they follow up and they make it happen. They champion the close and they're not like wishy-washy about it. You know, there's many, and we can talk about this, there's many ways to express this idea, but this is really truly the way I think about it is like, You know, another model of talking about that or expressing what kind of person I'm looking for is the model that I call, you're looking for people that have friendly strength, right? If you think of some psychological model, I don't know where I read this many years ago, but if you think about the model of like some people have hostile, you have hostile strength, it's a quadrant, right? And you have hostile strength and hostile weakness, and then you have, you know, friendly strength and friendly weakness. And most people's model of salespeople is that of somebody that has hostile strength. Someone that's out there to kill everyone, right? Kill the competition, kill the customer, goes and just, you know, somebody that's out there to just kill everyone and get all the money from people. Has that level of like aggressiveness, but not necessarily an aggressive, like, but an aggressiveness that comes from a very selfish place and a hostile place. And those are like the Wolf of Wall Street type of people that we're all thinking of. Like, and many of them are successful in the sense that they're making lots of money, but in certain industries, but they could never be successful in startups or not as successful in startups because this is a place where your name and brand matters and the customers being successful matters and many, many other things. So you can't just go sell and then run to the next customer and don't care about, you know, the reputational burning ground. So hostile strength is, I think, what most people think of salespeople, like really aggressive, selfish, elbow, you know, out kind of personalities. And then the other extreme to that is friendly weakness, like the whatever, the artsy teacher that's like always out there to be like really speaking really softly, always just offering information and being like apologetic about the existence. And weirdly enough, we mistreat these people. Instead of them being the most popular human beings on the planet, it's because they're expressing weakness, we take advantage of them and we treat them badly. So both these models don't really, I think, work for the modern salesperson. And the model that I like to use is the one of friendly strength, which means I'm friendly because I'm out there to help people, to create value, to make the world a better place, to make others successful. So I come from a loving, friendly place, but I do have strength. You know, so I'm not wishy-washy, I'm not weak about it. And one good example, and this is interesting because we're both fathers, we both have children, The best model I can think of somebody who expresses friendly strength is a good parent. So a good parent is someone that is not like weak and allows their children to do whatever the hell they want, right? Sure, stick this knife into your head, you know, if that's the way you feel right now. Like, they're not that, they're not weak because those are bad parents, but they're also not hostile, obviously, right? Because hopefully you love your child and you come from a good place. So your child is like acting all crazy. You tell your child, you know, I love you. I know you're tired and you're hungry, but now is, you know, that's the time for us to go to bed. So we're going to put on the pajamas. We're going to read the story and then we're going to, you know, the day's going to end and daddy loves you, but this is how it's going to go down right now. And then the child might scream and do anything because it's like overly tired. You ignore that. You're not having a debate or negotiation about it. Right, you just start putting on the pajamas, changing the diapers, and the child still screams. And at some point, the child, in my experience, my son, at some point just goes, oh, fuck it. I guess he knows what he's doing. He just like gives in on it because I have more clarity and direction in the interaction than he has, right? So at some point, he just goes, all right, fuck it. All right, well, I'll stop screaming. I'll just do what you tell me to do. And I think that at the end of the day, great salespeople are the same way, and the way that they come with love and they want the best for you. But once they are convinced that you should be a customer, they're not fucking around. They're not having even a debate about this, right? They're just telling you what to do. They're like, all right, we're going to put on your pajamas, then we're going to sign up for the business plan, and then we're going to get you guys on board in the next 5 days. Let's do this right now. What's your credit card number, right? And it comes with strength, but it came from a loving place. I don't know. I was rambling on because obviously I have a lot to say about it, but that's kind of some of my thoughts around this.
Yeah. The reason I like that is because this whole coming from strength and also being a friendly person is that it feels like anyone can do that. Or it feels like at least more people than less people can do that. Well, when you think about the way most people think about sales and these scripts and these closes and, you know, like, this whole process and methodology, like it just doesn't, honestly, it doesn't feel human to me. It feels like the salesperson or the person on the other side, if I'm buying from you, knows something I don't know.
Yeah.
And like, is trying to like, I don't mean like dupe me, but basically dupe me into buying their crap.
Yeah.
You know, even with the cold emails I get, like most of them are so sorry. Like I get a lot of them. I probably get more cold emails every day than I get regular emails. And like, I'm like, I honestly, here's the ironic thing. The ones I have actually responded to have turned into something. Like
that's awesome.
Some of my best like companies I work with or whatever. While the ones that I haven't, like I have no idea, but I don't plan on responding to them. They might be great things. And the funny thing is like that it just doesn't make me feel great of even getting these emails and getting these cold emails. And most of them are not contextual. They have all these weird things in them, like these weird words and these things like as if they already know me and they don't, you know?
Yeah. I think that a big part of that is that I think in the old school of sales and sales education and training and sales books and workshop and all that, I think that, I don't know the really, really old stuff, but like the stuff that happened especially and specifically in the 80s and 90s, I feel, was all about like tactics, rhetoric, hacks to get somebody, to push somebody into submission on your and whatever you want them to do. Tricking people almost like the whole shit with like yes streets, right? So this is an interesting one. Like the whole thing of like you should create a yes street or bridge. Like you should make people say yes a lot because then their tendency is to keep saying yes. So you'll be like, you know, stupid things like, oh, do you like the nice weather in California? Yes. Do you like this? Yes. Do you want to be successful? Yes. Buy our product? Yes. Right? Stupid shit like that. Where there's some basic truth to this. And it's good to know because if you ask somebody 10 things and they say no 10 times in a row, you might not want to ask a really important question after. Yeah. You might want to break that flow first, right? Take a That's step right. back before you ask them the buying question.
But it's not a generic rule.
But it's not a generic rule. And also, you have to ask yourself, are you going to move? Are you going to leave this town, you know, to a new town that you can trickster new people into buying your shit? Because the point with all these tactics is they always generate buyer's remorse. Like they always, even if you trick me into saying yes and signing something, immediately after I'll feel bad about my decision.
Right.
So immediately after I'll start rethinking this and trying to figure out a way to get out of it again. So this works if you live like in the old school days where you could move town to town and trick people and get their money and just move to the next town. But in today's world, there's nowhere to hide. Like with the internet especially, if you trick people, they're just going to cancel and tweet about it and share it everywhere. And like, where are you going to hide, right? If you constantly create customers that churn and hate you afterwards. So it's kind of so much of a waste of time to study these tactics and hacks to trick people into, you know, buying what you want them to buy when, you know, if it's not the right fit, it's a waste of your time and theirs. And it just makes no sense to even attempt the sale in the first place. The other thing is about these emails that you say that you receive, is, and I do receive not as many probably, but I do receive a fair amount. It's so crazy. Today I got an email from somebody, a follow-up email. I ignored his first email, so at least I have to give him props for following up. But it was an email where he's pitching me his productivity tool for Salesforce, right? And I'm running a Salesforce competitor to a certain extent, right? So I'm the CEO of CloseIO, and he sends me an email saying, hey, Stelly, you know, I love what you guys are doing at CloseIO. I think you should really look into this tool that's built only for companies that use Salesforce, right? Which is a competitor of yours. Clearly, this guy doesn't know what I'm doing. I'm assuming, to give him the benefit of the doubt, that some virtual assistant doing lead gen for him that has no context and he would know better and not send me this email. But it's kind of ridiculous. I'm getting this email from somebody who clearly knows nothing about me. But in his email, he gives me all this prop for how much he likes my company. But like nobody who likes my company would send me this email. So today I replied and said, have you ever actually looked at CloseIO's smiley face, right? Just to see what his reply will be to this. But there's so many emails that are sent that try to hack that are not customized, not written by a human being to another human being with full context, but they try to hack that by creating some kind of a, using my first name and my company name as if that's enough to trick me into thinking you wrote this yourself and you know something about me, right? Hey, Stelly, I love what you guys are doing at CloseIO. And then there's the most boilerplate pitch afterwards you could ever think of. And you know he doesn't know me and he doesn't know my company. And it doesn't matter for this email, right? He just uses these things in a template to attempt to be more personalized and then have better success with his email. But it's overused to the point where it doesn't matter anymore.
So, yeah, I think it's very interesting. And the funny thing about all these tactics is that they turn everything into a numbers game. right? Yep. It's yep. like, oh, I'm going to send 100 emails and three of them are going to follow up and then maybe one of them will close, right? Or whatever. And so personally, I'm dying to hear more from you about this topic because I think that we're in a place right now where the way people used to sell just won't work anymore. And I don't even mean like enterprise sales. I literally mean the way people used to sell like a year ago, 2 years ago, the way that like, I guess Bay Area companies have 100 salespeople, right? And are selling through this inside sales process that they learned. You can call it sales 2.0 or whatever. I don't even know anymore. I don't keep up with sales. That's your job. But I do know the undercurrent that's happening is that many of us are able to sell without even having a single salesperson on our team.
Yep.
And I think the way you describe it of friendly and strong, you say it better than I do, but it's a really clear way to say it. And it empowers people to feel like they can sell too. And so, and it also aligns with the way content marketing is done today, where you're trying to be friendly, but you're trying to give your opinion and you're going to educate. And especially in B2B software, if you're not educating the customer, you're basically not doing your job as a vendor or a software provider. And I think that has to extend into the sale as well. Otherwise, you don't really convert people.
I totally agree. And I think there's a clear line. There's companies that do have sales forces that have lots of salespeople, but most of them are overly optimized towards the friendly part and not as much on strength. So they'll jump on a call and give you a demo, and they will answer your emails, and they will send you a few follow-up emails, and they will, when you ask them questions, answer them, but they will never be strong, right? They've just been trained to be friendly because they have large numbers and they pour a shit ton of money into their marketing. The math still somewhat works, but they're never as successful as they really could be. But then there's the other side of the line, the companies that still run really old school kind of sales teams and sales forces, where the salespeople are overly aggressive, overly out there for themselves, don't really give a shit about you, just want to make their numbers, get their commissions, get their bonus. And they just go and a lot of times they kill the competition at first because they're taking over all the friendly people, right? And just crushing them in those deals. But then they also create a horrible culture and they generate tons of churn. And there's a lot of internal problems and everybody hates their life at those companies. And they're creating a really bad brand. And they overly optimize short term. They win in the short term against their competition, but they're really losing the game of life and the long-term game in branding in many cases. But the super overly friendly ones, they're a lot of times they never survive the long-term game where they could win based on the good brand they're building because they're getting crushed by this overly aggressive competitor. I hope and I believe that the future big successes will be companies that are able to balance those two things. So they kick the ass of their overly aggressive competitors in the short term because they're also strong. They're not push-arounds, and they win in those deals, but they win the long-term game because they are friendly and they care about their customers. And I think that as soon as we get more and more of these examples, and we're trying to set that example at Close.io, I think that there's going to be a shift. And also, coming back to some more technical stuff, maybe just one thing before we run out of time for this podcast. If you use the friendly strength model of sales, it's very easy. All you do is you spend the first half or 80% of the conversation or interaction with a prospect on figuring out if they should truly, really, really buy your product, right? All you're trying to do is really understand the customer or the prospect to the point where you're 100% certain they need to buy. And then you make them buy. Then it becomes your duty, responsibility, your religion to make that person buy because it's the best thing for them. And it would be tragic if they don't. Right, and you would suck at life if you didn't make them. So that model is really simple. I spend all my time understanding you. Once I understand you, all I have to tell you is I can help you solve this problem. Here's exactly how my product is going to solve that problem for you. Let's get started right now. It doesn't need a lot of trickery. It doesn't need a lot of like magical like tactics, and you don't need to read a million books on influence and communication. All you have to do is truly understand the customer and then be strong about offering the solution. That's something everybody can do. And that's also something, by the way, that engineers are really good at. Like the understanding what the true problem is part. Engineers are much better on average than salespeople. And not just staying at the surface level of information, but really digging deep until there's not a lot of interpretation needed. And you truly, the prospect truly painted the picture fully. So now there's, okay, I truly get what you want to do and I know all the details of it. Once you have that, selling is really easy.
Well, there you go. Is that your tip? Or you still got a tip?
No, I still got a tip. We'll give people one more tip. So
go ahead.
In that vein of being friendly and strong, one tactical thing people can use today when you're talking to prospects and you're struggling at any point in the sales conversation, either early on or at the end, like closing the deal, if at some point you feel like you're struggling, ask your prospects for help. Say these words: help me out here. Why aren't you buying today? Or help me out here. Why did you want to learn more about what we're doing? Help me out here. What am I doing bad? Why am I? I get the feeling I'm not really convincing you. What is wrong with my pitch or what I'm saying? Help me out here. Why don't you want to tell me more about why you guys are looking into this solution? Just ask people for help and you'll be surprised how many times people just give you all the information you need and help you, you know, help them buy your product. So that's my tip for today.
I like it. So I'm going to give a tip about sales as well, even though I don't know anything about sales like you.
Awesome. Oh, you do know a thing or two about sales. Don't say
so
that.
So my tip on sales is going to be, I often hear people talk about how hard it is to do sales or how they don't like talking to people and things like that. And so the thing I would say is that if you are going to scale a business, you need to talk to people one way or another if you want to keep scaling it and growing it. So my biggest tip would be get off your ass and go start talking to people. It's a skill we all have. We just might not believe that we have it. And so there's nothing you can do better than getting off your ass and just trying to talk to people, even if it isn't for sales, if that gets you comfortable doing it, especially if you're a single sort of entrepreneur or a small team and no one else can do sales, but maybe you're the best one to do it. But again, you have this fear, just go do it. Just try, like anything. Try to sell it to your wife if you have to, whatever you got to do.
I love it. Get off your ass and talk to people is the way the quote I'll tweet in a second, but the quote that we'll end this podcast
there
with.
There we go.
Awesome. Hey, my man, this was a lot of fun. Everybody out there, tweet Heaton and myself with questions, tips, your ideas, the unicorn salesperson, or other buzzwords. And we'll hear you guys in a week.
Thanks for listening.
All right, bye-bye.
Did you pick one of the two action items from Stelly and Heaton already? Do that now and snap into action. It's time to grow your business.